Hi, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, we have quite the show today. Some big news just broke about Kamala Harris's VP pick. We'll touch on that. But also, you may remember that on July the 24th of this year, Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to a joint session of Congress. And what took place outside was disgraceful. There were thousands of protesters who wanted him to be arrested. That was the theme of their gathering. And the gathering culminated at Union Station in Washington, D.C., just down from the beautiful Capitol that we love. All of us love it, that are Americans, where they defaced that Capitol, defaced a statue, burned the American flag. And we're going to talk about that today, but I want to pause for a second and play just a snapshot of what was happening that night. This is clip four.
Biden, and we're watching Vice President Harris, and we need a lot better upholding of international and U.S. Leahy laws.
The people are
all right, so you heard a lot of things. That was a montage that we shortened. You heard Allahu Akbar. You heard something bleeped out. Well, as they were burning the flag, they were chanting, burn that blank. Burn that blank. You also heard there is only one solution. We just want a revolution. And then you heard the last speaker talk about socialism. She talked about what's happening on the campuses. The question is, who was there? What was that all about? I think you might be very surprised. Our guest today was there, and she's going to talk to us about what's happening in this country that you need to be aware of. But first, you know this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net, and certainly we would love to hear from you. This is when I regret I can't open the phone lines and talk to you. But you can find us on all the social media platforms. You can find this podcast at our home base, which is afr.net. You can also find it on Spotify and Apple and wherever your podcast platform is that you enjoy using. So now we have to recalibrate our thinking. We get lost in all of this, and this is the purpose. You know, not only does the left enjoy it, but I think that, you know, Satan himself loves confusion, and he loves to, like, draw us into all of it. And I'm certainly drawn into it right now. But I want to remind you that there is a God who's powerful. And one of the things that we state every day is the sanctity of human life, the fact that he created us and does not. Before the Ten Commandments were ever written in the Genesis, God said you shouldn't shed men's blood. It's a serious thing when you do that. And that's why abortion is wrong. It will always be wrong. It was always wrong. Taking the life, certainly, of an innocent child in your womb. And that's why through preborn we try to show moms what their babies look like in the womb, and to just persuade them to not do that. Don't do that. Don't allow that in your baby. And most of them decide they'll keep the baby, or they'll at least adopt it out, or not. Not okay, the termination of the baby's life. And so that's why preborn is so effective. It works, it works, it works. And so if you would like to help them, and I hope that you will, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, sit back, maybe take a pen and paper, because today's podcast is very important to your understanding of what's actually happening in this country and worldwide. On today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Today's attack comes amid growing fears of an all-out war in the Middle East, with Iran and its proxies threatening to strike back against Israel for the recent assassinations of senior Hamas and Hezbollah leaders. The U.S. is beefing up its military presence in the region, sending additional warships and fighter jets. CBS's Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
The war drums are getting louder. Following Ismail Haniyeh's assassination, Tehran says Israel must be punished for what it calls its cowardly attack on Iranian soil. Both Israel and Iran say they don't want this to escalate, but nobody wants to be the first to take a step back. Former Israeli diplomat to the U.S., Alon Pincus.
And most worrying is a coordinated, the so-called 360-degree attack. Hezbollah in Lebanon, Iran from the east, the Houthis in western Yemen from the south, Hamas in both Gaza and the West Bank. So Israel will be encircled.
And where does America sit in all of this, and what should they be doing?
The last thing that America wants is a scenario in which they are dragged into the conflict.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was a CBS report. Now, everyone knows that's listening that there is danger in the Middle East right now. There always is, but it's really to heights we have not seen, certainly in my lifetime. Israel is surrounded by enemies, most of them funded by Iran. Whether it's Hezbollah or Hamas or the Houthis, it's a very, very dangerous situation. They just found out last week that Egypt had built these elaborate tunnels and were actually helping Hamas as well. And that was a real blow, because there was an agreement between Israel and Egypt. It is a very dangerous situation. But what's behind all of this? Because we're seeing the same thing here at home. We're seeing Hamas is coming. We're fearing there'll be strikes here at home. We saw the protesters in Washington, D.C. A week plus ago burning the American flag. It's all related in strange ways. And last week, I heard a briefing from my next guest who certainly told me things I didn't know. And she has such a grasp on what's happening worldwide in regard to this. Her name is Azra Nomani. She is, by the way, she was born in Bombay. She was raised in Morgantown, West Virginia. She is a former Wall Street Journal reporter. And let me just interject right away that Azra is a serious reporter. Now, many people have learned to report, like everyone wants to write a book, but not everyone's a real author. It's sort of like that. Azra is a serious journalist who does her research, and that's one of the things that really impressed me. I want to just say this before I let her speak. I mentioned Denny Pearl, who was beheaded. He was a Wall Street Journal reporter. I mentioned him in the context of talking about them removing the death penalty, potentially, from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was the one who beheaded him, as far as we can tell. He claims he is. But she was a personal friend with Danny Pearl, and she wrote a book, The Truth Left Behind, Inside the Kidnapping and Murder of Daniel Pearl. Well, there's so much I could say about Ezra, but I wanted to give you just an idea. And so let me just say good morning, Ezra, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, good morning. It's so wonderful to talk with you. You're such a bright light out there.
Well, so are you, Ezra. And I need to say, because I want people to know this about you, you are Muslim, you know, and I'm Christian. We would, and I love India. I've been to India, love it.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I know there's like a million not quite, but, you know, so many different people there. I think I should ask you right up front, Kamala Harris, as I hear, is Indian.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what does that mean? What should that mean to us if an Indian woman is running for public office?
Well, you know, traditionally it has meant that you're going to find somebody very enlightened and really, I was about to use the word inclusive, but it's been so adulterated, right, that it's not even a good word anymore. But it's such a great spirit, as you probably experienced in India. The sense of spiritualism is in the air. It's in how we interact and how we are with each other. But alas, you know, she is a product of the woke politics of the United States, and her mother had that inclination coming to the United States, just like my dad did, and it was parallel stories. She came for her graduate studies, so did my father in the 1960s, and became scientists, both of them in the United States. But I wrote a piece some months ago that the politics of Kamala Harris on equity and the destruction of merit in America would not allow a woman like her mother to succeed today, because that mother was, you know, benefited from the equal opportunities of the United States, and now there is, you know, a hierarchy of human value, and Asians, interestingly, have become white adjacent in the politics of meritocracy, and we are punished for our success in the United States. So her politics would be a betrayal to her mother, I believe, and I think, you know, more than her Indian identity, her woke politics defines her today.
Well, I think so, too. And I want to point out that you are the author of a book called Woke Army, The Red-Green Axis That Is Destroying America's Freedom. Now, ironically, I just, as all of us are talking about Kamala, and I just did a show pointing out her communist roots. And there are some very, you know, real proofs, which is really interesting, Ezra, because as you well know, and this is what I'd like for us to at least talk about a bit before we set the table on what's happening here. There is a red-green axis, and that is communism joined with Islamism. Is that how you would say it? Would you say Islamism?
Yes, exactly. It's you know, to many people, but I know not in your audience. It's a frightening notion, and some would argue that it's hyperbolic, but indeed, these are self-described communists, Marxists, Leninists, who have aligned with self-described Islamists. You know, this is the way they describe themselves. And it's headline news today because, interestingly, to your point about Kamala, she has selected as her vice presidential nominee a man who is being celebrated by that red-green alliance now as somebody who will be aligned with them in their hate for Israel. He's, of course, going to be a little bit more nuanced about it, but it's not this clear support that needs to be expressed for the state of Israel. It's that, you know, wishy-washy support. And we now have folks from the far left, like organizations like Code Pink and their founder, Medea Benjamin, celebrating this choice of Governor Waltz as Kamala Harris is a vice presidential nominee, and, you know, they are celebrating it because even in the competition among the Democrats, he ends up being less pro-Israel than the Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro, who, of course, was also Jewish. They consider this selection a victory for their red-green alliance.
Yes, and let me just explain to listeners, As we are recording this morning, just a little bit before we started, you may hear this at a later time, but Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, was chosen by Kamala Harris. And I, from my perspective, Ezra, as I'm looking, the bits I had to look before we started to talk today, he is a radical of all radicals. I don't know what his background is. I don't know what brought him to that point. We'll get into that on a different broadcast. But maybe you do. Have you been researching him since you
have? I have. And, you know, he's such an interesting, curious pick. You know, a lot of your listeners and you will appreciate his service in the military. He's career Army. And yet he has very interesting roots. Just ran for local office and then became, you know, catapulted to this position in Minnesota. He's well, you know, loved as like a, literally somebody called him a cuddly man. Joe Biden loved him for his personality. He has this apparently infectious, you know, charisma. But as we all know, that's, you know, smoke and mirrors when it comes to hard politics that are disturbing for America, because in Minnesota, then everybody can go flashback to 2020. He got heat for not responding quickly enough to the George Floyd crisis, but his daughter, for example, was on the streets calling out locations of police officers, you know, and part of that activist universe. And not only, of course, is you know, that important, but his own politics, because he became, you know, right in there ultimately with folks like Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, who is so anti-Israel and part of the Islamist network that has aligned with the far left to try to bring chaos to America, you know, first through those 2020 riots and now today through these anti-Israel protests.
So to kind of sum that down, Ilhan Omar, of course, is from Minnesota, and Tim Walz has been very friendly. He's been very, Mr. Cuddly, has been cuddly with the worst forces in Minnesota. And I don't know, so in this axis, I don't know if we'd call him red or green. He's green friendly. Maybe we could say that.
He is friendly with the green movement, you know, the Islamists, and we could call him right and green adjacent, you know, to borrow their terms. He has become part of the problem in the Democratic Party of Democratic politicians being infiltrated in their politics and their policies by the far left among American politics and then these Islamists. And so this is part of the problem that we're facing. And I think he's going to try to confuse things in the 2024 election, but most people will be able to see through that this this selection and recognize that he is part of that larger, wider problem that we've been facing so much in America.
We hope, you know, we hope if they can get the information, that's the big problem. But let's talk about, this is old hat for you, Ezra, so forgive me. And this is something I've been talking about for years, too. I was named by the SPLC as one of the women against Islam. And I'm not against Islam. I'm against Islamists, but you are Muslim. But that's how long I've been dealing with this. So I know about the red-green axis, but people don't know that. And that means communists and Islamists. So why in the world would Islamists who are devoted to Allah work with communists who are complete atheists, and they have a different, they both want to rule the world. So why would they combine to do what they're doing currently, at least in this country, and I think really around the world?
Well, the Islamists are using the leftists for their end game, and we see the blueprint in nations like Iran. The Ayatollah Khomeini in the 1970s aligned with the leftists and socialists in Iran to overthrow the Shah of Iran's rule over the nation. And the first action that the Ayatollah Khomeini took in 1979 when he got power was to jail and execute the leftists. And so they think that they're going to prevail with their worldview of their socialist, you know, order. But it's that game that two very fanatical interest groups are playing with using the other for their end. And as we know, neither solution is acceptable. Both offer us, you know, governance that denies people their human rights and their freedoms and their fundamental rights and opportunity. And so that axis is a convenient one for us, I believe, in recognizing that that which we face is meant to destroy everything that we love and care about.
You know, that I was just thinking of that historical fact that Adolf Hitler worked with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. You know, that was the Nazis, but, you know, there are certainly similarities between them and the communists in terms of their totalitarian approach. So it's happened before. But, Ezra, let's talk about what just happened here in the United States about, I'm guessing, 10 days ago when Bibi Netanyahu came to speak to a joint session of Congress. Now, I want to play just a portion of what happened at that rally. Of course, it culminated. It was a rally somewhere near the Capitol. It was a mixed group of people. There were a lot of Muslims on the platform giving testimony to how horrible Hamas was being treated and other things. And then it culminated in this really riot at Union Station where they burned the American flag. They defaced one of our wonderful statues in front of Union Station. They attacked police. And this is a real truncated version of that sound, Ezra, but I want... Let's listen to it because I want people to hear. This is clip four.
University are experiencing the collusion between the university and the imperial state firsthand.
People like Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer see fit to invite Netanyahu to speak when 56% of their voters who are polled believe this is a genocide. It's unforgivable. We are watching and we vote accordingly. And we are watching Biden and we're watching Vice President Harris. And we need a lot better upholding of international and U.S. Leahy laws.
The people are
all right, Ezra, we can dissect that a little bit, but there were some moments there I wanted people to hear that I think make your point, but I'm going to have you make your point. You were there. You did a deep dive into this, and I think most of us were just appalled. And we weren't quite sure. I heard from one person that was very peaceful, and then we saw what happened at Union Station. Who was there, and what was actually happening on that day?
Yeah, to set the stage that folks can't visually see from the audio, this is a roundabout, as they call them in the UK, a circle that's got Columbus as a statue in the middle. It's called Columbus Plaza, right in front of Union Station. All DC folks know it well because that's where you pick up and drop off your friends and family when they come in there from Amtrak destinations. And you literally can look down the lane to the Capitol. Like, it's such an iconic space right there. And so what had happened is that protesters had gathered and descended on July 24th in Washington, D.C. for this march that they called Arrest Netanyahu. And the reporters that covered this documented as thousands of arrive in D.C., crowds protest. But as a reporter, I know that in D.C. you can't do anything without getting a permit. And you have to get permission to land your buses on a street. So I went back to the emails that I had gotten from the organizations that had been promoting this event. And I found the bus drop-off spot. It was at a spot called Judiciary Square, ironically, for all this lack of rule of law that they practiced in that day. And there I met the activists as they were returning home to Columbus, Ohio, Portland, Maine. And all of them wore red shirts, and literally the people behind this organization had their names on those shirts, and it was a party for socialism and liberation. That's an organization that was started in 2004 out of the World Workers' Party. It was created in America and is running its own presidential ticket right now. Its presidential and vice presidential candidates speaking at their rally. And they are the organization that bussed the people in from all points across the U.S. And then I went as an extra reporting trip to the office of the Park Police and the Park Service. And the Park Service hands out the permit. And I got the permit, and it was for an organization called the Answer Coalition. And the person who took out the permit is a man by the name of Brian Becker. Both names that probably most of your audience do not know, but the Answer Coalition was created in the wake of 9/11 attacks to fight the wars that were happening and to push a socialist, Marxist, Leninist agenda in America. And Brian Becker is an architect of that entire agenda with webinars about the Communist Manifesto and Lenin and the greatness of their ideas. So those are the people that unleashed then the march to Columbus Plaza. And it is their activists that then scrawled onto the statue of Columbus these words, "Hamas is coming, and I commend Hamas." And their activists are the ones that then climbed the flagpole, brought down the American flag, and burnt it. And where is the left and the Islamist meeting? In that moment, as the American flag burns, a chant goes up, and it is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Those are the words that my mother taught me as a Muslim to speak to the heavens of the glory of God, but has unfortunately become weaponized by these extremists to bring divine mandate to their chaos and their insurgency that they are unleashing on the West. And so the blueprint is right there in their permit application. We're going to bring in buses, we're going to bring in cars, we're going to bring in chairs, we're going to bring in tables, and we're going to have 5,000 protesters. And the failure, and you know this so well, is that our media, unfortunately, doesn't follow the money, doesn't follow the breadcrumbs, and they report in generalities about these protests. And so that's why, you know, it's my honor to bring these details to your listeners.
You know, the media doesn't really, I recognize, Azar, because I've been around a long time. Communism, you know, when I was growing up, was an absolutely dirty word. We understood exactly what we were talking about. We understood the oppression, the millions of people that have been killed in the name of communism around the globe, and we knew what we were fighting. And then we went through a period of time where that, using that term was, the press, I'd say, the media that we didn't recognize was not our friend then. Turned that on us as though people kind of calling out communism, and surely there was a carelessness about accusing everyone of being a communist that wasn't intellectually heft. But now there's such a forbidden, or at least has been until recently, about talking about the communist influence. And I don't think the press is there yet. I mean, I don't think the press, and you would know better than I do, are they even discussing the communist influence in this country?
They're not. You know, they think of it as another hyperbolic, you know, cry from the conservatives. And, you know, that is the problem. So socialism has become a word that they will not speak. And I thought a lot about this because along with the chants of Allahu Akbar and the Intifada, there's another chant that the far left has I was at the White House when I heard it for the first time, and they brought Genocide Joe into the lexicon of their movement. And on the 24th, as they were attacking Netanyahu, they were also attacking Kamala Harris, because part of their goal is to infiltrate the Democratic Party, right, and bring chaos. And so it would be well served, even if the Kamala Harris and DNC want to make this, you know, a talk of conspiracy by the, quote, far right in America, they are playing with fire because these folks want to destroy them, too. You know, they want to destroy the Democratic Party, and they need to understand that this is a foreign influence operation in the United States designed to impact our elections. They have their own ticket running. They are pro-Russia, pro-North Korea, pro-China. The Code Pink founder has as her husband a Shanghai billionaire that the New York Times has even exposed for his funding of the far left in America. So if they could only see a greater goal, which is the protection of America, that would actually unite our different ideologies, you know, political ideologies, to this common enemy. But unfortunately, they're so blind, you know, in their hate for the conservatives in America that they can't even see that the enemy that you have identified is coming for them, too.
I always say that. I guess great minds think alike, but it's not. It's common sense. It's common sense. They're going to turn on the useful idiots. That's what they used to call them in the heydays of communism. The useful idiots that cooperate with them and think they're, you know, buddying up and being smart. I think like the Tim Walz's of the world. In that clip I played, you might not have been able to hear it, but there was such a cacophony, such a difference. There was Allahu Akbar. We did hear that. And we heard something about solution. We just want a revolution. That's right. What they're chanting. So we did have. You're not saying, Ezra, that in the pro-Hamas protests in this country and on the campuses that there are no Islamists joining in with, you know, I agree with you. It was mostly. Like the kid that burned the flag that started the flame was a white kid, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, the Islamists are there. They're, like, what happens in the protests, Sandy, is that this one was probably 60-40 leftist to Islamists. And then when the Women's March co-founder, Linda Sarsour, this Palestinian activist who has become the symbol, you know, of the Islamists in America, penetrating the Democratic Party, when she organizes her protests, it'll be maybe 60-40 Islamists to leftists. But the speaker, like, roster will shift that way also. But it's pretty even, you know. It's just the direction a little bit weighing, you know, this way or that way. But they are equal partners in this effort. And the foreign influence then is even by the Biden administration acknowledged to be Iran, you know, and China. So there you also have that nexus, right, of the leftists and the Islamists. And again, every American should care because both of those nations will destroy the freedoms that we so love in America.
Isn't it interesting, too? So there's another example. China working with Russia to destabilize the United States. Two, really, you know, they might be both. Well, Russia's not communist anymore, supposedly. They aren't in the traditional sense. But these two great powers who certainly were known for their communist passion and not as friends, I don't think. I'm not sure they've ever been friends, allies maybe. But isn't it interesting that they would be joining together, like each playing their part to dismantle and destroy us?
Yeah, because we are a common enemy to them, right? And I wouldn't say this either, except I have reported on the Islamists for 20 years since my poor friend Danny's murder and understood clearly their imprint in the United States. And I'm newer to studying the socialist and leftist movement. But I entered into it, you know, just on that issue that you care about so much, too, Sandy, and you've been such an important voice on, and that is protecting our children in our school system. I was one of those mama bears that emerged out of 2020 as an accidental activist because I could see their, ideological penetration into our schools. I live in Fairfax County, Virginia, and I knew in Fairfax County that the Islamists had created a home. You know, we call Route 7 that runs through the county Wahhabism Corridor because on both sides you have the Islamists with their mosques and their propaganda centers. And also here is this the roots for this very leftist movement, and they penetrated the school board here in Fairfax County. They tried to argue that the 9/11 hijackers shouldn't be called terrorists. They've brought in the secrecy, you know, of gender pronouns changing for children but keeping up from parents. And in 2021, as most people know, the parents helped to elect Governor Youngkin to the state house in Richmond. But and we helped to awaken a lot of people around the country to these issues. And so what we're seeing on the streets is also extending into our K-12 schools. And one example I'll just give, Sandy, is I saw a poster in our L.A. Unified School District, and it had America misspelled now with the KKK replacing the C. And what did I see? On Columbus Statue, there at Columbus Plaza, but America with KKK in the middle again. So it is that unified propaganda of from the children to the politicians, you know, trying to just demonize our nation. And as an immigrant, I love this country, and that's why I go into the trenches like this, because I know that so many people can't. And so that's why I got in my Subaru that day, Sandy, to get to Columbus Plaza.
Well, that's why I love what you're doing, Ezra. I would like to bring this full circle in a way. I guess it's a never-ending circle. I guess that's a good description. It is a circle. It just keeps going and going. But internationally, I started out talking about the danger that Israel's in right now by Iran and all its proxies. What is the nexus? What's the connection between what we're talking about and what's happening there?
Well, I know that religion matters to you and a lot of your listeners. And unfortunately, in my Muslim faith, there is also an end times revelation. And, you know, it's that lovely study that I'd love to say that word, eschatology. We have an eschatology in Islam also. And unfortunately, the extremists practice that and believe in it literally in a way that I don't mean to, disdain anybody's own belief in end times. But the end times, just like the leftist Islamist nexus, has very different results. The end times for these extremists is one in which the armies of the Mahdi, which is the name for the Messiah in Islam, will come from Damascus and arrive at this place that Armageddon gets its name, Medigio, that I went to it on a visit to Israel. And you go to the souvenir shop too, Sandy, and you get the I Survived Armageddon t-shirt. And
I want one of those.
I know the reality of reporting is so funny when you go to these spots. But in their vision, they will march from Damascus and have that final battle and then claim Jerusalem. And I know that to be true because what they actualized with that tragic attack on October 7th was one of those prophecies where they claimed that the Prophet Muhammad said that the Jews would hide behind rocks and trees. And I don't know if you remember that chilling detail of those poor young people hiding behind rocks and trees.
Yes.
And when I saw that as a Muslim, I just, you know, just had like a gut punch because I knew that these extremists were trying to manifest that prophecy. And so I hope that, and that is what the people of Iran, not the people of Iran, I'm so sorry, but the mullahs of Iran believe. You know, they believe, even though they're Shia and there's a Sunni division, they have that same end times belief, and they're trying to actualize it. And so I just hope that everybody will recognize that, you know, the destruction of America is part of that prophecy and that hope that they're trying to realize. And it's, and forget the divine element. You know, it is happening in the streets, and that is what we must be awake to. And I wrote my book, Woke Army, as a love letter to this country and to the people of West Virginia, my neighbors that I love, and Sandy, not even knowing you, belief in, you know, that journey that you have had to goodness and hope for a world in which, you know, we don't have to have those extremists define our communities and can live with difference and friendship together. And so that's what I strive for every day, because it's that extremism that took convinced those men to call a Sheikh Mohammed to take a knife to my friend's neck, and I don't want blood to spill like that.
I
appreciate that we're on this journey together.
Oh, we are, and I can't even imagine our country being torn up like that. But I'm fearing that's what's going to happen, Azra. When they say Hamas is coming, and I think they're planning. My personal opinion is they're planning on that same kind of attack within our soil. Why wouldn't they? We've got, you know, X number of Islamists who've come across the border, and some who've just been able to stay here and been brought in previously by the Obama administration. I could go on and on. So I don't know why we wouldn't have that. But it is very interesting to me. I mean, I know a little bit about the eschatology of Islam, but not like you do. And you know, it's interesting to me that, of course, we have our own belief in Armageddon, Christians do, and the end of times, and we're all thinking that. It reminds me of the flood story in the Bible, you know, God destroying the earth by flood. And my understanding is that every tribe and nation has a flood story. So, I mean, there's just truth. Some, you know, all truth is God's truth. And I think it's fascinating. I think we all kind of intrinsically know that something, we're headed somewhere, and it isn't good unless God intervenes. It just isn't good where we're going. But this has been a great pleasure, and I hope we can talk again, because you can explain things that I just cannot. And
absolutely, Sandy, and we're on the same team, you know, for the world and America. And right, while, like, I am not a literal I don't have a literal belief in eschatology personally as a Muslim, thank goodness, because it would take me to these extremes. But I do have a universal belief in the metaphor, you know, that you speak of also. And those waves can come either literally or figuratively, right? And this movement speaks of a wave in America. That's what they call it. They call it the red wave, you know. And so whether we believe in it literally or figuratively, like, we have to still deal with it, I think. And
yes.
And I so appreciate all. I just thank you so much for just appreciating my voice and my reporting. And I really am grateful to you for bringing it to your listeners, because I want them to know that there are people in the trenches fighting. And while we may have different narratives, we have the same goals.
Well, I think so too, Azra. That's the way I feel too. So let me just say, her book is called Woke Army, The Red-Green Axis That is Destroying America's Freedom. recommend that book, and it will help explain some of the things she's touched on, but in greater depth. And so, Azra Nomani, God bless you and keep you, and I hope we can talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. I'm your friend for life.
All right. I accept it gladly. Thank you, Azra. This has been Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
One thing you can count on, if the Democrats win this election, there will be more abortion for all 9 months. There'll be all kinds of ways. They are in favor, some of them, of being able for the mother to be able to choose to terminate the baby's life after its birth if she decides she doesn't want it or if it has a disability. That's how extreme it is. And that's why we have to prepare. And one of the things that will not change, God willing, is the Ministry Preborn, where they show ultrasounds to moms in crisis pregnancies, just appealing to them directly that's a baby, that's their baby in their womb. And so that is the most powerful way to fight this wickedness that's coming at us, and it is coming at us, and it's going to get worse, I'm afraid. If you want to help, and I think you do, because so many of you have, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Well, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week on AFR, and it's August 5th to the 11th. And what we are asking is that you help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. AFR and Revival Fires International are partnering to provide the only hope for teens as they return to school. Help us reach a generation of young people and get the Word of God back into the public schools through the distribution of the popular Truth for Youth Bible to teens across our nation. In these troubled times, our young people really need hope. They need Jesus, and they need God's Word. Through the distribution of the Truth for Youth Bible, our Christian teenagers are becoming soul winners. We are getting God's Word back in America's public schools, and thousands of young people are giving their life to Christ. Here's how it goes. Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 to 18 who promised to pass it along to a friend this school year. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. The Truth for Youth Bible is now available in Spanish. Over 1 million Truth for Youth have already been given away in the past 20 years as a result of this project. Thousands of young people have received Christ, more than 25,000 over the last 20 years. Our goal this year is 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teens. Parents can order the Bible on behalf of their son or daughter, or teens can call to get one. You can also order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. And this is how you do it. You can visit TFY, Truth for Youth, TFY.org. You can order there anytime, or you can call 844-530-8890. That's 844-538-8890 between 8:30 and 4:30 Central Standard Time. So, bottom line, they will send you a free Bible if your teen will promise to give it away at school. Give it away to someone. And if you want a larger quantity, they're $2 each, and you can do that by going to tfy.org and order, or you can call 844-530-8890. So that's how it works. It's a great, great way. And really, when have the days ever been more dreadful? Our kids are depressed. There's so much suicide. They need hope. Just like us, they need Jesus. So visit tfy.org. That's tfy.org.
And then I got the phone call at 10:14, starting with the words, "Mommy, I was shot. I am bleeding, and I think I'm gonna die." For 45 minutes, we were on the phone, hearing the gunshots around Romy, listening to her pain, her fear. She was strong and tried to stay calm. And I just kept telling her how much we love her and that she's not alone. I am standing here at the Lincoln Memorial, a symbol of freedom on the land of the most powerful nation of the free world. And I ask you all, I ask the free world, let my people go.
All right, so that's an excerpt from the rally on July the 24th. And that's a Gazan talking about her child. I, at the risk of sounding callous, I just have to tell you that the one thing we've learned is the Islamists are fabulous at feigning grief. That we've seen them do that in hospitals over fake corpses. It's just a strange thing. It's a thing that it's part of their culture. I'm not saying she's not sad about her child. Maybe she's genuinely serious. I don't know. But she's talking about Free Gaza, but she's not even. You know, the whole point is that 1,139 Israelis were killed in a shock attack by Hamas into Israel. That's what started all of this, but that's the part they want to leave out. Well, I hope you were as enthralled with Azra's reporting as I am, and Bruce is here with me, and he's been listening intently. I know you found it really helpful, didn't you, honey?
It was. I'm shocked when you say that this was an arrest Netanyahu march right in downtown Washington, D.C. I mean, we are talking right there, the train station, the Capitol. And when I hear that tape, I swear it's something coming from Tehran, Iran, or Beirut, Lebanon. I've never heard anything like this in the United States. And I think if we look to England and we look to this tape of what just happened in Washington, D.C., that is a precursor of what is headed our way if we don't deal with this situation right now.
Yes. And our law enforcement agencies, as you know, are so weakened and so misguided. That's the kindest thing I can say about them right now. And so we are weak at every point. And it's just it's a frightening time. If America were on her game, like she has been for, you know, couple of centuries here, this would not be a big deal. But we're not. We're back on our heels, unprotected, leaderless, and vulnerable.
Think of the irony of that. The United States flag pulled down and burned on the streets of Washington, D.C., while people look on chanting Allah Akbar and Death to America and Hamas is coming.
Yeah. And there weren't enough police. There wasn't enough police response, Bruce, and they beat the police or they attacked the police. It's really shocking. And but you just heard an explanation, at least in part, from Azra. It doesn't really take into account. I think there are so many Islamists in D.C., it's frightening. They fill that park across from the White House in a moment's notice. And we've allowed that. And so here we go. But it's interesting that Azra talked about the end times, even though she doesn't embrace that teaching. But it is very interesting to me to see that different worldviews embrace a similar episode, whether it's the flood or the end of time at Armageddon, and it's called Armageddon. I just think that's fascinating. And so we'll watch. We will watch and we'll see what happens next. But today you know a little bit about what's happening in our country, maybe how to assess all the confusing messages you're getting from television or radio, whatever you're listening to. I hope this helped. And honey, thank you for joining me briefly today. Well, before I go, I want to thank our sponsors, Timothy Plan. It's a place where you put your money, where your values are, and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. And thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.